aboard the Millennium Falcon, Dathomir Spaceport. C-3PO hovered, as was his nature, at the entrance to the cockpit while Alana had her encrypted comm conversation. She might, after all, need reassurance or a glass of milk at any moment. The golden droid could hear the little girl's side of the conversation with Queen Mother Tenel Ka's voice reaching him as a series of buzzes. Voices across the comm speakers had to be easy to understand by those in the pilot's seats, but the speakers had recently drifted out of register, as they did from time to time. C-3PO suppressed a sniff, or rather a synthesized sound identical to a sniff in both characteristics and meaning. His speakers never became misaligned, and if they did, he'd see to their repair immediately. It was no wonder the Falcon was constantly breaking down. Such shoddy maintenance. Alana's conversation was winding up.
I will. I won't. Don't worry, I have Angie. I'm not bored.
Even the droid could sense the lie in the girl's words.
I love you too. Falcon out.
There was pride in the last two words. Clearly, she felt very adult in remembering to add them. The little girl rose from the pilot's seat and turned back to face C-3PO. Her red hair so like her mother's. Her serious expression so like her grandmother Leia's. She gave the droid an unfriendly look.
You don't have to listen to me all the time.
To do my job effectively, young mistress, I do. And I am very, very good at my job.
Most of the time, I guess.
She sighed, clearly upset about something, then stepped over to Angie, who was curled up on the co-pilot's seat. She sighed again, then began to stroke the Nexu's fur. Angie responded with a welcoming purr, but Alana did not seem to notice. She merely stared out the cockpit canopy, shaking her head at some little girl's sadness that C-3PO could only guess at.
Come now, you mustn't worry about your physical welfare. R2 and I are quite capable of keeping you tidy and well-fed.
Alana whirled on him.
I'm not a kid, 3PO,
she said.
I can keep myself tidy, and I know how to use the food synthesizer as well as you do.
Angie raised her head and cast a wary eye on C-3PO, obviously appraising whether she needed to test the effectiveness of her bite restrainers on him. C-3PO did his best to ignore the ungrateful feline and kept his attention focused on Alana.
Well then, I'm afraid you'll just have to tell me what's wrong. I certainly can't fix it if you make me guess.
You can't fix it at all,
Alana complained.
They forgot.
Oh, come now. Perhaps Captain Solo is prone to forgetfulness, but that's not the case with Princess Leia. Whatever it is, I'm sure she left instructions for me to arrange it on her behalf.
Alana's eyes lit up.
Really?
Of course. What is it you're thinking of? Her offer to teach you how to play Djeric?
Alana stepped over to him.
The Rancor,
she said.
Grandma promised me the next time we were on Dathomir, I could ride a Rancor.
A surge of static shot through C-3PO's central processing unit.
Oh dear, perhaps they did forget. I'm afraid no one said anything to me about that.
Alana scowled at him.
I thought droids couldn't lie.
I didn't lie,
C-3PO replied, suppressing an electronic sniff.
I was merely mistaken.
About Grandma never forgetting?
Alana demanded.
Or the part about leaving instructions to take me Rancor riding?
This time, C-3PO did not suppress the sniff.
Clearly you need some time alone. I will go about other duties. Please call if you need me, mistress.
C-3PO moved aft, his microservers whining as he walked. He suspected that the girl's question was not actually a verbal jab, probably just a child's inquisitiveness. But considering the other strong Solo traits the girl possessed, he couldn't be sure. As he traveled the curving passageway that gave access to the Falcon's main deck, the droid reached the passageway to the starboard side loading port and saw that the boarding ramp was down. But R2-D2, his astromech ally of so many years, he couldn't even remember their first meeting, so it had to have been prior to a memory wipe, was rolling up the ramp, and the ramp was rising into place, keeping the nighttime spaceport at bay.
"Well, what have you been up to?"
R2-D2 wheedled at him in the musical, very data-dense code of astromechs.
"Exploring? What's to explore? It's a patch of mud spattered with permacrete habitations. I've seen more promising sights on the underside of a shoe."
The astromech wheedled again. C-3PO stopped where he was to stare at his comrade.
"Ah, so at a spaceport, a place where ships come and go all the time, you have seen a ship. How observant. So what if the mechanic hurried to close the hangar door when he saw you watching? Humans can be very self-conscious, you know. Thank the Maker we don't suffer from such ailments."
C-3PO offered up a synthesized sigh.
"The tail end of a Soro sub-yacht. Might I point out that there are as many Soro sub-yachts out there as there are piranha beetles on Yavin 4.
The astromech's tweedling took on an irritable tone.
"No, I won't investigate with you. We're not to leave the young mistress alone."
C-3PO shook his head in worry.
"Frankly, R2, I don't know what our masters were thinking, leaving that poor child here alone with no one but us to protect her. We're on Dathomir. Don't they realize what happens to Force-sensitive girls on this planet?"
R2-D2 answered with a long, low buzz.
"I most certainly do have something to worry about. Sometimes I think you have all the sensibility of a rolling dustbin and could be replaced by one. In fact, I insist that you stay here with me. I may need you to defend the ship." "No, the best defense is not a strong offense. The best defense is a strong defense. And that means staying put. Protecting Mistress Alana and not letting her get into trouble, which is her genetic predisposition, as it would be yours if you had genes."
C-3PO shook his head sadly and continued heading aft, secure that he had, in fact, sorted R2-D2 out for once.